Amen and amen and amen. Isn't that awesome, y'all? Y'all say amen to that. I tell you what, I love it. I remember preaching many times, and I'd be preaching, and all of a sudden there'd be a little boy or a little girl that would just show up on the podium where I was. And they're there. And so I'd pick them up, I'd hug on them, and just keep on preaching. It was usually J.T., Jeffrey, or Jennifer, my three, one of the three. My Jennifer loved doing it most of all. And so I am all in for Kevin to go and worship with his son back there this morning. And Jennifer and Kendall, you get to be with me. And you're saying, hallelujah, amen, and all. I woke up this morning and a couple things. First things that were on my mind. Last night before I went to bed, I read over the passage of Scripture several times. I listened to it. I like to listen to the Word. When I'm traveling now, I rarely listen to the radio. I love how now you got that Uconnect or whatever connect, and you just do connection with your phone through the radio, and I listen to the Scripture. I don't know it well enough yet. And I just want to hear it. There's something about hearing the Word, and because in Georgia you can't pick up your phone and look at it. They'll get you, and you shouldn't anywhere while you're driving be doing that anyways. But there's two things this morning that came to me, first of all, to my mind. First thing was, who is Jesus to me? I'm always asking everybody else, who is Jesus to you? And I just felt like the Lord was asking me this morning, who is Jesus to you, John? Who is Jesus to me? And then the second thing that happened was, and I don't do this often, but there's an old song that came to my heart. And it goes something like this. I traveled along upon the lonesome way. My burdens were heavy and dark was my day. I looked for a friend, not knowing that he had all of the time been looking for me. And now it's Jesus and me, for each tomorrow, for every heartache and every sorrow, I know that I can depend upon my newfound friend. And so till the end, it's Jesus and me. Now, y'all need to know something. I don't do that. And most ministry musics have told me, you preach, we'll sing. And all. And I have not thought of that song in years. And I just love when the Lord, the Holy Spirit, awakens you in the morning and puts a song in your heart. And because I believe we've got to do it. But I do want to ask you the question, who's Jesus to you? Y'all have heard me ask it before. Some of you that have been here when I've been before, this is not the first time you've heard me ask that question. I have been in a passage of Scripture that I cannot get away from over the last 2 months. It just seems like God has put me in this passage of Scripture. And I preach from this passage in two other places, but I promise you it's not the same sermon in any one of them. And all, but God has just been speaking to me about this passage of Scripture. And I think some of it is because of the time we're in, but it's also because I think it's time we hear it. And all. I got to tell you this. I hate churchianity. I do not like churchianity. In traveling to other places in the world, and you see how people live and what they are going through. I mean, we in America, for the first time in my lifetime, are faced with something just really indescribable. But it's not the first time in America that something like this has happened, but it's the first time maybe to the degree it's happened and all. We've got to define, we've got to determine who Jesus really is to us. Who is he to you? Who is he to me? Am I really unto the end walking with Jesus? You know, it's great I love to talk to people and talk about Jesus being in their heart. I don't want Jesus to be in their heart, just their heart. I want them walking with them. I want Jesus to be real every day. I want him to be real every day to me. I want to know Jesus. And I got to spend time in this Word. If I don't spend time in this Word, I'm not getting to know my best friend that I say is my best friend. And I mean, I've read some of these passages over and over, just like some of you have. Some of you are possibly older than me, and some of you are close to it, and a lot of you are younger than me. But who is Jesus to you today? Who is he? And I'm not going to read this whole chapter because it's 30 verses, and people say don't read 30 verses. But the Word of God is great, and I don't want to talk about this passage through till I get to verse 25, and then I want to key in on the last five verses. Is that all right with y'all? Or last four verses, whatever it is. In Matthew 11, if you have your Bible, you can turn there with me. That's the first book of the New Testament. And that's what I always love that, because that's the easiest one to find in the New Testament. Sometimes I get lost when I'm looking for Galatians and Colossians and Ephesians and all those others. I didn't say them in order either, as you noticed, and all. So, but in Matthew chapter 11, before Matthew 11 was Matthew 10, and what was it like to be in one day in the life of Jesus? What if you were with him when he had the 12 disciples? What would it be like for you to be walking with him? How would I respond walking literally with Jesus? In Matthew 10, Jesus had just sent the disciples out. He'd given them all of what they were supposed to do. He had told them all the power they were going to have. And then he kind of summarizes what he had told them in Matthew 11 when they're getting ready to go out. I mean, he had been teaching them, y'all. They had been sitting literally at the feet of the Son of God, our Savior, and truly hadn't fully grasped yet who they were with and all. So in Matthew 11, when he's beginning to tell them what to do, before that happens, John the Baptist, who is in jail, doesn't know what's coming, sends a couple of his disciples to Jesus, and he asked them a simple question that he wanted them to ask him. They asked him in verse 4, he said, verse 3, he said, "Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?" Now you've got to catch this. This is the same John the Baptist, the cousin of Jesus, that baptized Jesus in the Jordan River, that was there when the dove came down, and the Holy Spirit said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." I don't think John was having a time of doubting and all like that. He wanted his disciples to see who Jesus was, not just himself. But John wasn't in a good place, y'all. And we're not in a good place today. John was about to literally lose his head. You know that story. We won't even go into all of that. Just because of some ruler having a drunken party and listening to one of the wives' daughters and what happened. But Jesus talked so highly of John. He said there's none higher than him. Jesus thought John was higher than he was. Jesus is always that way, y'all. Jesus was never about lifting himself up. He was never about putting him up as number one. He was always lifting up the Father. Always pointing to the Father. Always pointing to the Father. Teaches us something about how we ought to be. Others were more important than himself. He came for others. Praise the Lord, we're others. We're part of the others and all. And so he lifted John the Baptist up. He said he was even greater than the prophets of old and all. He's the Elijah of today. He's greater than him. And then he talks about what he told the disciples to do. He told John's disciples, go back and tell them this. Tell them that you the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, the poor have the gospel preached to them. And then this phrase right here, this isn't good for today. It's great for today. Blessed is he who is not offended by me. You think we ought to hear that today? I tell you what, I'm so tired of people being offended. Y'all ever been tired of people being offended? I mean, get over it. Is it all right to say that here? At all. Be in Christ who you are. You know, my opinion, your opinion don't make a bit of difference. It all depends on what Jesus says. And it's time that we as Christians, I'm going to speak to the church. And I ain't been around y'all, so I don't know what you've been doing, so you can't say that I know something and all. But I've been around some believers lately that all they talk about is their opinions. And I've had it out up to here. Y'all know what I mean, Vern? You mean, you know, our opinions don't make anything. We need to quit talking about all this stuff that's going on in the world. What would happen if we began talking about Jesus? What if really, I'm serious about this, y'all. I mean, Pastor Mark in Haiti, Pastor Mark Clovis. And if you want to follow Pastor Mark, his name is M-A-R-C, and then last name C-L-O-V-E-U-S. And he will be your friend on Haiti. If you want to befriend him and you want to see really what's happening in Haiti, become his friend. He's my most trusted pastor in Haiti and all. And he's not about himself. In this last year with unrest in Haiti and then COVID-19 and everything, they've done nothing but plant 7 churches. Couldn't stop. Those people are going to gather anyways. They gather because they're trying to get food for their family. They can't sit at home. They can't go isolate. They got to do something. And so they're going out just telling people about Jesus, going into villages where people or villages are coming to them and saying, why can't we have a church in our village? And let me tell you, here's what they do. Novel idea. I think if we did church planting like this in America, it'd be awesome. Y'all, I get a little excited. I'm sorry. And God is working. God's at work. God's at work. The question is, are we? But here's what they do. They go for 2 weeks. And when I say they, it's usually about 35 people from Christ Pour Tous. That's their church. That's Christ for the peoples. About 35 people go to a village, if a village has come to them, in the mountains, and they stay for 2 weeks. They don't have tents. They don't have sleeping bags. They'll take a tarp or a blanket, and they will sleep on the ground under the stars, and they go for 2 weeks, and all they do is prayer walk. They do not go to engage. They go to pray over the area. I mean, they pray. Those people down there know how to pray. I mean, in church, at their church, when you go to their church and they call on somebody to pray, everybody in the church gets up, gets down on their knees, and everybody begins praying together out loud, and then that person they call on to pray will close it, kind of like what y'all just did just now. But they're all praying. And they're not sitting there with their mouth closed. Everybody's praying out loud at the same time. And you know what? God understands. God doesn't have a problem with that. And all. But they go in that area for 2 weeks and pray. Now, they'll talk to people if people come up to them, but that's not their purpose. They're talking to God about the place. They're preparing the soil. They're getting ready for the harvest. They go home. They go home for 2 weeks. Then they come back. And they stay for 2 more weeks. They come to evangelize. If it's moving and will stop and it's breathing, or if they have to walk alongside, they're going to talk to people about Jesus. They're just talking to them about Jesus. Because everybody down there knows who Jesus is, but they don't really know who Jesus is. He's on every truck because they think that if we put Jesus on the side of the truck, those foreigners will hire us to carry them around the town and everything. And I'm serious about this. Jesus is the greatest entrepreneur there is in Haiti and all. He's everywhere. But they need to know him personally. And so they talk to people about Jesus. Then they come home for 2 weeks. And they come home and they pray. And then they go back for 2 weeks. You know what they do the last time? They do a crusade. They do a crusade. And they get up there and they preach and all. And they're checking to see if there's fruit to plant a church there. And they have opposition there. It's usually a voodoo priest. Very real. Satan is real. Satan will fight you everything. But I want to tell you what. He's a loser. He has no power over God. He is not a God. He's fallen. A fallen angel. And he and all his demon angels with him. They're no longer angels. and all. He's the devil. He's a liar. He's a counterfeit. And he will. He will tell you stuff today and try and get you off track. But we have Jesus. We have Jesus. And it goes on. And you look through here. And then after he had talked about John and the prophets and all this, and he talked about all the violence up to this time, you know, prophets were killed also. Prophets were put down in a well. Read the story of Jeremiah if you haven't read it. What a life. Wouldn't you like his life? You know, none of us, I don't think we're going out. Hey, can I go down that well for a while? Because I'm standing for Jesus and all. Who's Jesus to you? Who's Jesus to me? And all. And he talks about John. And they said, John has a demon. And they didn't, you know, and then they say that Jesus himself, he's gluttonous. He's a friend of tax collectors and sinners. And they're trying to put him down. You can't put down Jesus. Y'all, I don't care what anybody says to you about Jesus. They have no weight. Jesus is Jesus. He's the Son of God. He is the Son of God, the one true God and all. And then in all the places that Jesus had been, he began talking about some of the places where he had done miracles. He had done several things and all. And then he talked about how bad it was going to be for them because there had been no repentance. It was, in fact, in the bottom line, it comes down and he tells them it's going to be worse for you than it was for Sodom. And by the way, if you don't remember, Sodom was pretty bad. You know, Abraham's son Lot got out of there and all, but his wife, Lot's wife, looked back and wasn't good for her and all. And it was totally destroyed. And there's a day coming, there's going to be a lot of destruction. We ain't seen nothing yet, have we, brother? And I don't know that we want to be alive to see it, but this world is not going to be the same. I want to tell you, my Jesus is in charge. He's in charge. He's the architect. You read Ephesians 1, you read John 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He's alive today. He's well. He's praying for me today while I'm preaching. He intercedes on our behalf. He's prayed for me when I've been in surgery and when you've been in surgery. My Jesus is something else because he's real. He's real. But Jesus gets to the end. And this last part that I really want to key in and just look at, and I want you to look at with me, beginning in verse 25, I call this the greatest invitation there's ever been given. This passage of Scripture right here, because it's given by Jesus. I love this part of the passage. In verse 25, just listen. It says, at that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you've hidden these things from the wise and the prudent and have revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, so it seemed good in your sight, all things have been delivered to me, Jesus. All things have been delivered to me by my Father. Nor does anyone, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Let me stop there just a moment. Y'all, I want to tell you something. We need to learn how to praise Almighty God and give praise and thanksgiving to him all the time. Not just when we get up in the morning and we go to bed at night or at a mealtime, we need to start giving praise to God. I was driving over here this morning, and I tell you, I had to pull off the road two or three times because I had some pastors that came to my mind. And I texted them just to tell them that I was praying for them as I was driving. Probably five pastors, I did that. Then I get to Butler, and I'm trying to come here. And I feel like the Lord said, turn off that first road and drive down through Butler. I went down and prayed for the church, Pastor Tommy Beeling. Prayed for First Baptist Church. Just drove around them. That's all I did. Was just praying for them. And then I came on around, and 137 turns off, and I kept so I could get back on the right road and up there. And I came on down into Reynolds, and I stopped at your field. And I prayed over the field again. Thank God for that field. I'll never forget that story. Y'all remember that story? Y'all, I don't know what God's going to have y'all do with that field. I don't know if you're going to do a movie night or not. But I'm going to tell you what, I love the sign that's in the field, and I love the cross. Because everybody's got to come to the cross. Everybody's got to come to it. And then I wrote down, and I prayed around the church that I don't remember the name of downtown, around this way, down by near the tracks or whatever. Y'all know what church I'm talking about? I prayed for that church. I came back and I prayed for First Baptist Church. Then I went down the road. There's a church down there on the right. And I drove out to Taylor Mill to pray for Taylor Mill. Because Taylor Mill let me stay in their building a few times. And when you don't have to pay for a hotel room, you like it. And all. God provides. And all. But I was thanking the Father for all these places. Houses of God that are dedicated to Him. And praying that they would be places of worship today. That we would come in with no agenda but to worship Him. And I want to tell you what, these songs today, I don't know who picked them, but they're good. They were right on. They were right on. And I knew I could worship. Lord of heaven and earth. So there's a song out there. Lord of heaven and of earth. That's all of it I know. And all. And I read this and that's the first thing I thought of. And then I thought to how God has revealed things to us. He's revealed things to us and they're ours. And yet, we have people out here in this world, and we could name them, that we know they don't know nothing. That they're just as lost as can be. And all. But God loves them. God still loves them. And then Jesus just shows us exactly who the Father is and who the Son is. Yes, they are one. But at that moment, the only one that really knew the Father was the Son. And the only one that really knew the Son was the Father. It's the first. And God the Father sent His Son to this earth. It's the first. And then He says, and to whom the Son wills to reveal Himself to. Here's my biggest fear for so many people, family and friends that I have. I have family and friends that feel like they can wait, they can get saved whenever they want to get saved. I want you to know something. It ain't so. In Hebrews, there's a passage that talks about the Holy Spirit being withdrawn. I just pray that doesn't happen to those people. Because, listen, you don't get saved just when you want to. You know when the Holy Spirit is tugging at your heart. You know when He's speaking to you and you for the first time, and you can sense and you can see the sin in your life, and for the first time you're hearing about Jesus and it's making sense to you. I preached a year and a half lost. I can tell you I know. And I'll never forget it, that crusade on a Sunday afternoon. After 3 days, agonizing days of fighting and saying no, that I took my counselor badge off, put it in my pocket, and walked down across the football field. And the only thing I said was, Lord, I wish I could see Brother O, who I'd been licensed to preach on, and that was 3.5 hours away in the little city. But he was now pastoring in Mobile, but I didn't know if he was there. And I'm walking across this football field, and I'm crying. I said, I got to settle this. I don't care what anybody says. I'm a lost preacher. And I knew I was lost. I got to settle it. And I bumped into somebody and looked up. And that was the day I knew that God ordered the steps of a righteous man. It was Brother O. It wasn't me. Brother O. And he looked at me and said, son, what's wrong? And I said, Brother O, I'm lost. He knew more about me than anybody in Mobile at that moment. And he looked at me and he said, son, do you want to be saved? I said, Brother O, I want to be saved more than anything else in the world. And he said, well, let's do it right here. Just drop to the ground. And I'll never forget just crying out to the Lord and asking Him to forgive me for becoming one of the things I hated most of all in the world was a liar. And I'd been living a lie for a year and a half preaching His Word. Even that week, I had been counseling people and showing them how they could have Christ in their life. And I didn't even have Him. And I was living that lie. And I'm crying out to you and asking Him to forgive me. Probably listed a few more things because we all got more than one sin. And you know what happened? He saved me. Old Him came to my mind that day too. right after I'd prayed. And it wasn't as old back then as it is now. That was a long time ago. As burdens are lifted at Calvary, Jesus is very near. And that day Jesus came into my life. And the Holy Spirit came into my life. And I already loved to preach. But my preaching, for some reason, took on a whole different aura about it. And God began to use it more. Because the Son willed that I should be saved. And He's willed that all should be saved, but all don't listen to Him. He reveals Himself. This morning, Kevin was talking about who he talked to. I stopped this morning in a little bitty town of Seal, Alabama, where I grew up, because I knew that they had a store there that had biscuits and sausage. I hadn't cooked no breakfast, so I got me a biscuit and sausage, and I'm getting ready to leave and pull out of the parking lot. And there was a couple of African-American people over there, and I just felt like the Lord said, you got to talk to them. So I pulled over there, and I talked to them. And I just told them, I said, do you know Jesus? Who's Jesus to you? Didn't know what else to say. That's what God has had on my heart. And we talked for a while. They both said, well, we're believers and all. And I said, please keep your eyes on Him. Don't let this world distract you today, please. Please don't let this world. Keep your eyes on Him. Whatever you do, walk with Jesus today. And then Jesus comes to this part, y'all, and I want you to listen carefully. This is where we are today. This is where we are today. The greatest invitation right here. In verse 28, Jesus says, come to me. Do y'all know what that means? What if you say, come to me, what does it mean? It means get up from where you are and come where He is. Come join me. Come on. Come join me. Jesus said, come to me. And it means you can't stay where you are if He's inviting you to come to Him. You either get up and come to Him and come with Him, or you stay where you are. It's still the same today. You know, as a believer, if you are a believer, you know when He's pricking you to stop and talk to somebody or go do something for somebody or to go do something that nobody will even recognize that you've done it. It's not always about doing something that people might see. Sometimes it's about going and doing something and nobody ever knows and all. But it's walking with Jesus, walking where Jesus walked. But He says, come to me. And He says, all you who labor and are heavy laden. And listen, here's what I believe He's saying here. He's just talked about the woes earlier in this chapter of this day. And He's talked about there's a lot of religious people out there and they're busy. I mean, the Pharisees and Sadducees were show me. They weren't from Missouri, but they were show me. They were out there doing their thing and they want everybody looking at them and telling everybody else what to do. It was all about do. You got to do this, you got to do this. Jesus isn't talking about that. He's talking about being. He's talking about walking with Him. And He's talking about what are the things that you're doing that really don't make any difference in this world? We get so busy sometimes. We're doing things. The church is guilty, y'all. And you know, I'm not against good youth ministry and good children's ministry and all those things. But sometimes we do, and we never get to the meat. We keep them as babes. We just keep sucking on the milk. And He wants to give us the meat. He wants us to have life. He said, I've come that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly. There's nothing more exciting than to be free in Christ. That wherever you are His disciple. You can do whatever you want. If He tells you to do it, you can do it because you got His permission. You don't need anybody else's. And we know that they might look at us crazy. But it's all right. It's all about Jesus. Y'all listen, I want to tell you. Thursday, Pastor Richie, as he was preaching on Thursday, there were three of us preaching. We had a Baptist, a Nazarene, and then a Baptist. And we kept it that way because we were more secure than the Nazarene. And all. Anyways, that was my cousin. I always give him a hard time about they don't believe in security of the believer, brother. And I'm going, you just want me to go to convention with you because I'm more secure than you are and all. And we have lots of conversations about that. But we get so busy and we're so... But Richie, all I told him was, Mom wanted him to talk about Jesus because we had family members that didn't know Jesus. We had family members that left there not knowing Jesus. But they heard about Jesus. and all. And we weren't preaching at them. We were just telling the truth, speaking about Jesus. And those are heavy laden. What kind of burdens do you have? I've never seen the world in so much fear. I had a lung taken out December 30th and all. In March, three doctors are calling me. You need to go home. You need to quit meeting with all these groups. You need to go home. What do you mean? And all. And so I went home. And everybody else is canceling everything and rescheduling and all this kind of stuff. And my prayer is, God, what am I going to do? I can't sit at home. You know, my favorite word in the world is touch. You got to touch. God, you got to show me how I can touch people from home and from different places. And I was, y'all, you may get upset about the mask or something. I wear a mask most everywhere I go because my doctor told me, I said, what do I do? He said, wear your mask, wash your hands, and don't sit in anybody's lap. I love my doctor. He's got a sense of humor. And he knows he can't keep me still. You know, and I've taken every precaution. I've got two things, a hand sanitizer, and both of my sisters tried to give me more this weekend. I mean, what do you want me to do? I ain't putting that all over my body. I'm not sure about it on my hands. Don't nobody light up no matches around my hands, you know. But here we are, so much fear, but God has, He showed us how to do different things. We've been Zooming to Haiti and getting to teach pastors on Tuesday nights. And it's hard, isn't it? Because they have internet and they don't have internet, and they have internet and they don't have internet. We have a translator and we don't have a translator. And they don't understand Alabama English. You know. But we've had a good time doing it. And it's not about how much we get to teach them. It's what God speaks to them they catch. It's not about how fast we go. It's that we're being obedient. And we're doing it. And all. And then, am I excited about Sweetwater, Alabama? You better believe it. I can't wait to be able to do it. By the way, we're putting up our four new sections of the tent for the first time then. That God's people gave the money to buy. And we get to put it up for the first time. We're excited. And all. And it's only 30 minutes from where it's sitting. We ain't even going to spend no fuel hardly to get there. And we're not asking them to give very much to it either. And all. But he said, come. And then he says these words. Catch these with me. If you will come unto me, I will give you rest. Quit carrying the load. Quit carrying the load. Empty it on him. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. This is my picture of the yoke. I've been to Haiti and Senegal and Guatemala and a few other places that God's allowed me to go. And I have been amazed at the people. And it's normally the women that do this. Guys, we should be ashamed. They'll have a stick on their shoulder. They'll have 5 gallons of water over here and 5 gallons of water over here on their shoulder, having a yoke. And they'll have 10 flats of eggs on their head. Ain't a man in here could do that. And all. You talk about ballerinas. And they're going up the mountain. They're not walking on level ground. And they're walking on rocks that are uneven. I have a hard time walking. And they're carrying their burden. And many of us are walking around with 5 gallon buckets on our shoulders. And with eggs on our head. I would have egg all over my face. And some of us do have egg all over face because we're carrying the load. We're carrying the load. We haven't learned from Jesus who Jesus really is. We're carrying the load. And he said, come unto me and then take up my yoke. His yoke is this. His yoke is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Kindness and peace and long-suffering. And you can name all of them. You can go to Galatians and you can find them, and in other places you can find them. Grace and mercy. What if we became like Jesus to everybody around us? Even to those we don't like. I love Paul when he's talking about, pray for your enemies. And he had a sense of humor. Or was it Jesus? I don't know which one said it. It's like pouring hot coals upon their head. Just love them. Let them burn here and not there. Let them love them. Love everybody. Be Jesus to everybody. Walk in His fullness. And he said, learn from me. And then he says these things about it. He said, for I'm gentle. Jesus wasn't brash with anybody but the religious people in the temple and the religious leaders who were trying to get him killed. That's all the only people. Everybody else, Jesus, he even loved them. I mean, he received Nicodemus, didn't he? He loved people. That's what he came for, others. Y'all, we are here for others. We're not here for ourselves. Go look in the mirror. I'm not here for John Bush. I'm here for others. That's what I've been called to be like Jesus, to be here for others and to worship my Father in heaven and really know Him. And He says, I'm gentle and I'm lowly. He's humble in heart. Jesus was definitely not a braggart, and He had every reason to brag. He had every reason to say, look at me, but He never did. And we can't be getting people to look at us. I mean, I'm just a John Bush. There's a John Irwin Bush buried in Hiram Cemetery, right out of Seal, Alabama. It's out in the middle of the woods. More wood, middle of the woods. It's kind of like your cemetery out here. It's in the middle of nowhere. And that's where most bushes are buried. That's a good place because bushes grow better out in the woods. And all. Of course, those don't. But that's my great-grandfather. And I just want y'all to know it ain't me. Because I'm still alive and been made alive, and I hope to be made more alive than I'm alive yet today. And all. Jesus, I'm nobody but John Bush that God has saved, and He's allowed me to go different places. I was so looking forward to coming and being with y'all. Reynolds, Georgia. And because of Heritage Baptist, y'all need to know, y'all are some of my most favorite people in the world. And you ask anybody, if you get to some of my friends in other places, they will tell you that John Bush loves Heritage Baptist Church in Reynolds, Georgia. There's no way we should have done what we did. But God did it. Because you had an obedient pastor and an obedient congregation that led the way of all the churches around here. You were the most unlikely group of people to lead out. Wouldn't y'all agree? Some of y'all thought that, didn't you? And all. They ain't nobody insignificant in God's book. And I love you for that. And I love what God is doing. And there's people around here that you need to tell them about what a great place this is. And that the Father, they need to come and meet the Father and come to Him through the Son right here. Because there's people that need to come to Heritage Baptist Church. Because God's doing stuff here right now that Of course, you got a crazy pastor. I'm glad he's got a sane wife. Jennifer, thank you. But he said, and you will find rest for your souls. And the verse 30 says, for my yoke is easy. I want to tell you that I believe the most literal translation for that is, my yoke is kind. If you go to the Greek and you study that word for that, and I can't pronounce it, and you wouldn't understand if I told it to you. But it means kindness. It means kindness. And it depicts who Jesus was. And His greatest invitation, He says, and my burden is light. Y'all, Jesus knew the cross was coming. Do you hear what He's saying? You hear what He's saying? And He compels us to take up our cross daily, to deny ourselves, take up our cross daily, and to follow Him. We're going to have burdens. We're going to have these things. But don't take it up by yourself. Walk with Jesus. Walk with Jesus. Walk in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Don't let people frighten you. Just tell people your story. Just tell them your story. Tell them what God has done for you. Jennifer, you know what I'm praying? I'm praying for the twitch to be words. I really am. I've been praying that since He told me. I'm praying for the movement to become lift. I'm praying for the moment. And I know y'all have prayed some of this stuff a long time and trusted God. And I encourage you in it. But you got others praying with you. And our God, He just talked about what He told the disciples to do. Make the lame to walk. to heal the lepers and all that. That was in chapter 11. And he could do it today. I don't know if it's going to happen for Nathan. But what a beautiful little boy. Kendall, he ain't as pretty as you are, though. Y'all, who is Jesus to you? Who is Jesus to me? I want everybody to say this to themselves. I want you to say it out loud. Who is Jesus to me right now? I hope and I pray that you'll answer that question this day. If there's anybody here in this place has never turned from their sin and turned to Christ and asked Him to be their Lord and their Savior that's in this building today, I beg you to come to Jesus. You're not here by happenstance, I can tell you this. Because the Holy Spirit, I believe, would draw you to God's place, God's building. And if there's anybody here that has never trusted alone in Jesus Christ for salvation, I invite you to come to Jesus.